You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Kindergarten.
I knew it. No,
you're trying to get listen. Bonnie in trouble.
No, of course not.
You could have been confiscated.
What does that mean?
Taken away.
No!
Or worse, you could have been lost.
No. Guys, listen. Bonnie had a great day in class, and we're going on a road trip.
Road trip?
Vacation! But then something really weird happened. Bonnie made a friend in class.
She's already making friends.
Hey, it's okay. Come on out. That's it. Come on. There you go. You got this. Good. Everyone, I want you to meet Forky.
Golly, Bob Hat.
Look how long his arms are.
Trash? No. Toys. They're all toys.
Trash.
No. That's the trash. These are your friends.
Hello.
Trash.
No, it's okay.
Trash.
Woody, I have a question. Actually, not just one. I have all of them. Trash. I have all the questions.
Why does he want to go to the trash?
Because he was made from trash.
Trash.
Look, I know this is a little strange, but you got to trust me on this.
Trash.
Forky is the
trash.
Most important toy
trash.
To Bonnie right now.
Important? He's a spork.
Yes, I know. But this spork, this toy trash. Is crucial to Bonnie getting adjusted to kindergarten.
Oh. Woody, aren't you being a little dramatic about all this?
I know this is new to everybody, but you should see how much this little guy means to Bonnie. When she started playing with him, she had the biggest smile on her face. I wish you could have seen it. Bonnie was really upset, and I swear, once she made Forky, it was a complete transformation.
Oh, Woody?
Just a second, Jesse. So, we all have to make sure nothing happens to him.
Something happened to him.
Oh, shoots and ladders.
Oh, trash.
No. You're a toy now, Forky. Come on. Stop. Stop it. No. Come on. Oh. Well, I guess I'll just babysit him till he's used to the room.
Forky? Where are you, Forky? There you are. I thought I'd lost you, silly.
So you have a spork on your seat, and in Toy Story, that was Toy Story 4, I believe, Forky obviously had an issue, because Forky's issue was that he thought that he was trash, that all he had was just a bunch of trash put together, and that's all he was. And it's funny. You know, obviously, there's a funny scene there. And there's a whole, a bunch of shorts about Forky asking questions and stuff. And I will just say, my first introduction to the spork was in the grand establishment of Taco Bell. So Taco Bell is definitely where the spork really gained its popularity. But Forky thought that he was trash. All he could see of himself was that I'm trash. I came from trash. I belong to trash. And I know that sounds kind of funny, and it's he jumps into the trash can. But in a very similar way, Christ followers say the same things about themselves. In a very similar way, they say things like, well, I don't really matter. My part doesn't matter. What I have doesn't matter because I'm just trash. Or they think, you know what, my part doesn't matter, or maybe it does, but you know what, I don't really care because God's church is trash. Because that's how we treat the church. That's how we treat one another. That's how we think about it when it comes to this idea of what does it mean to actually connect to the church. And again, with this series, we're looking at some hard things. And we're looking at what does it look like to be on fire for Jesus? to really be on fire, not just say it, but actually live that way. And as we talked about the very first week, and I talked about again just last Sunday in Oaxaca, I preached the same sermon. We look and say, yeah, God's the most important, but really, when we get to it, there's no room for him in our jar. And the same thing about church. Like, oh yeah, the church is important. The church is important. But yet, the way we act, the way we live, we're hopping back to the trash can and jumping in. And we're saying, no, it's just trash. And so we're saying that, you know, God, your church is trash and my part in it is trash. Because the way we live, the way we interact, we're not actually living on fire for the church the way God has called us to live. For what he has done for us. And so the point this week, as we've been looking at each week, what does it look like to be on fire for Jesus? And someone on fire for Jesus doesn't just attend church. Because a lot of people think like, oh yeah, I showed up, I attended church. And as we've been doing every week, the someone on fire thing, like we talked the first week about following Jesus. Now that's a good thing. But if that's the end of it, like I follow Jesus, then you've missed what it means to actually be on fire for Jesus. And to say that I attend church, yeah, you're here, good. Check, you're done, move on with life. If that's the way you see church, or as something that, well, I guess I better show up. I guess I better come, because that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, I definitely have to show up because I'm expected to serve. I have to wear a shirt today. So I guess I'll be there. I won't be there any other day of the week, any other day of the month. Having a little stroke there. But we're like, no, if I'm not serving, I don't have to be here. If you know what, I don't feel like it, I'm not going to show. Maybe it was a late night last night, I'm not going to come. Nah, you know what, it's raining outside, it's snowing outside, it's sunny outside, it's foggy outside, it's a beautiful day outside, it's a horrible day outside. Whatever good excuse we have to not actually connect to the body of Christ on a Sunday morning. Connecting in worship. And again, what we're saying is our actions are demonstrating that we think that the church is trash. Because we don't matter. Our part doesn't matter. That you don't matter. That I don't matter. And whether you're saying that about yourself, as you look in the mirror and say, you know what do I have to offer? You really don't on your own. And we'll get to that in a moment. Or maybe saying, what do they have to offer me? Who do they think they are? They're a bunch of hypocrites anyway. And let me tell you what. If you think the church is a bunch of hypocrites, you are absolutely right. Because we are. Because we're sinners. And if you're allowing the way someone has interacted with you in the last week or 30 years ago to affect your opinion of the church or your part in it, you're messed up. Because we're all a bunch of sinners, and that's what Jesus did for us. And we make that an excuse for why we don't have to show up. Well, I've got a good reason. And so someone on fire doesn't just attend church, they crave connection and serving. And I mean, just that question. We're going to ask this question of ourselves all series long. Am I on fire? But is that you? Do you crave this? Do you wake up on Sunday morning because I guess I have to. I got to go. Or you're like, I can't wait to be here. I can't wait to worship. I can't wait to tell God who sent his son to die on the cross for me how much I appreciate him. Or we're like, nah, I'm tired today, Jesus. Sucks that you had to die. But do we crave that idea of connection? And do we crave serving? Do we crave that we, you know, as Kendra said in her prayer, like the God of the universe, we're like putting ourselves in his hand and letting him make a beautiful symphony as an instrument. But we're like, you know, you're really not that great. Because, and again, in our brains, we would never say that. In our hearts, we don't really feel that way. But our actions tell a different story. Because we're only here because we have to. We're only here because we're supposed to. This is the right thing to do because I'm a Christian American person and I go to church on Sundays. And again, there's nothing wrong with being a person that goes to church. There's nothing wrong with being a person that serves. The issue is, what is the heart behind it? Do you crave it? Do you look forward to it? And I got to say, I mean, you know, Kendra's in tears thinking about you all. And I feel the same way. Like, I can't wait. Like, I know this is my job and that's what you're supposed to do. Sunday morning is a lot of work. And I love it. I can't wait to get here. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm a hypocrite, too. There's some days I kind of don't want to be here. If you asked me about 2 hours ago how I was feeling from the food that I ate, or maybe it was 3 hours ago. Oh, that was a long time ago. Maybe it was like 4 hours ago. America and Mexico are having a conversation in my stomach. We're trying to decide who's going to win here. But like, you know, so there's parts of it. Yeah, we don't always feel like it. But even then, would you go, wow, I missed out. And I know that there's, well, I'm talking a lot. We'll get to this. But this idea of craving connection and serving is so big. It's something like, this is the church. This is the body of Christ. So it's not just Sean's thing. It's not just the elders have this thing that you better show up or you're going to feel bad or guilt tripped about. This is the body of Christ. It's his church. And as I've said the last couple of weeks, like, if you're not a Christ follower, maybe today you are challenged by some things. Maybe you're like, hey, that's interesting, or I never thought about that, or I'm glad somebody finally called out the church as a bunch of hypocrites. That's cool. But I'm not really talking to people that aren't following Jesus. I'm talking to the rest of us. And say, what does it look like to up our game? What does it look like to be on fire for Jesus? And Justin already spent plenty of time on this, but here's the YouVersion notes. There's great resources there. The Bible passages are right there. Hey, as a spoiler, by the way, if you save it and then you can open it in Prime Group and never have to think about what where the passage is, they're all there. So you can open it right there. Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin that. But you could just, they're all right there when you discuss them in your Prime Group. So there it is. But I want to talk about this idea of how do we look at church or is it trash? So go ahead and we can turn on the house lights here. If people have a paper Bible, if you have the YouVersion app, obviously the notes are right there. The passages are right there for you. But we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at a number of passages, a number of verses here. But in Romans chapter 12, you probably are familiar with this passage if you have gone to church. But this is where Paul starts out. And he talks about how we need to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Then we need to give ourselves completely to God. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but to offer ourselves to him. And so he starts out with that idea and then shares some thoughts about what that looks like. And the first thing that he says here in Romans chapter 12 is that what happened? Did I skip a slide? Yeah, there we go. I messed up, I think. Your part matters. That's the first he says. The first thing he says. Your part matters. Do it. Play your part. Do it. And this is what he says specifically in verse 3 to 5. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Don't think you're better than you really are. Oh, I don't feel that way. I just know that I'm better than the people around me. I just know that there's certain types of people that I don't like. I just know that there's those people. I still question why we even go to Mexico. Because you know who's down in Mexico? Mexicans. But I don't think I'm better than I really am. But Paul says, don't think you're better than you really are. Like we look at the church and go, nah, I don't need this church thing. I don't need to be here on a Sunday. It's cool. God's cool. He says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. He says, just look in the mirror. Be honest with yourself. No one else, like, we are so good, and we said this so many times, we're so good at lying to ourselves. Like, we deceive ourselves more than we deceive other people. And Paul says, you know, before you start thinking that you don't need to connect, that you're better, well, you don't need them, they don't need you, he says, just be real. Be real with yourself. Look in the mirror. He says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So we're not just talking about Mifflin County Community Church, nonprofit 501c3 Incorporated. This isn't a thing. This is the body of Christ. And there were 16 of this body of Christ that were down in Oaxaca last week. And this time last week, we were worshiping with the body of Christ down there. And it wasn't Victor's church. It wasn't the Trigo thing. It was the body of Christ. And as Kendra said in her prayer, like, you could go anywhere around the world and find brothers and sisters, because it's not about you or us or about this organization, this building, this thing. It's about the fact that we are the representatives of Jesus on this earth. We are the body of Christ, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. We all have a part to play. And we are on this earth to be his body. Like Jesus, and this is good theology, I'm pretty sure. Jesus is not here physically on this earth. And so we are. We are his body. We represent him to this earth. God is finishing his plan, doing his plan through us. And we get to be a part of it. And so you need the church. You need the church. And any other response to that statement is just arrogance, because somehow you think you don't. And if you think you don't, no, I don't feel that way. I just don't show up. Okay, so if you need something, you use it. You take advantage of it. If you need the air to breathe, you know what you do? You breathe. And I can guarantee that none of you can say, oh, of course I need air, and then just hold your breath and see how you live. Because you need it. And you need the church. And I need the church. And you guys, you need me. And you need the person next to you. And I need you. And we'll get to it in a moment, just because I happen to be currently a few feet taller than you. Currently. Doesn't mean that my role is any different. It's just a part in this thing called the body of Christ, in this thing called the church, and we need each other. So your part matters. Do it. This isn't an optional thing. Jesus isn't like, some of you belong to each other. Some of you fit in. Some of you don't. You know, I shared this a few months ago. You know, like every family has a crazy family member. And if you don't know who it is, it's you. Like that idea that we need each other and every part matters. And it's not an optional thing. Your part matters. So do it. This is not Sean guilt tripping you. And that's what the series is. It sounds guilt trippy, but it's not. Like if you don't show up, you're not. I mean, you'll get to that. You are hurting me. Why? Because I need you. And you're hurting the people around you because they need you. But ultimately, it's not like, oh, I better do this because Sean wants me to. Or because if I don't show up, the first impressions coordinator is going to get mad at me because I didn't show up on my day I was supposed to serve. That's not someone on fire. That's someone just doing what they need to do to get by. Someone who doesn't realize that we need each other. So your part matters, do it. The second thing is that your gift matters. Use it. Your gift matters. In Romans 12, continue on in verse 6, Paul says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts. God has given us different gifts. That us is a plural word. That means every one of you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have been given what are called spiritual gifts for doing certain things well. So every one of you has a gift. And look at these phrases. And I love how Paul writes it. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, which, by the way, the word prophesy does not mean someone that can see the future. A prophet, someone who is a prophet, is a spokesperson for God, someone who speaks out and says the hard things that need to be heard. It doesn't mean, hey, I've had a vision and God told me that you should do this. That's really not what the word prophesy means. Someone to prophesy says they speak on behalf of God. And if you are that kind of person who says, I can tell the future, according to the Bible, if your future telling isn't correct, we're supposed to take you out back and stone you to death. So you can decide how much of a prophet you want to be telling the future. But this phrase in the New Testament means to speak boldly for God. And some of you are so good at that. You can say hard things and people are like, you can like slap them in the face and like, thank you. Thank you for that. Like, how does that work? But Paul says, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith God has given you. If, maybe it's not prophecy, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, maybe that's your gift, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. There is no question of when or when you feel like it or, well, you know what, I get it, that gift doesn't really matter or those things aren't a big deal. It's if God has given you a gift, which, by the way, if you're a follower of Jesus, the answer is you have one. That wasn't a question, but there's the answer anyway. You have a gift. God has given it to you, and that's what the word, we get the word spiritual gift from, because it's not something that's just a natural thing like, hey, I'm really good at this. It is a gift that God has given to you to use for his body. So your gift matters, you use it. When you chose to follow Christ, he gave you a spiritual gift for the benefit of his body. And here's just some. There's more gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and some in Ephesians 4. And we did a series called Gifts, now that I think about it, where we talked about those. But Paul says, you've been given a gift. If you don't know what your gift is, okay, we can talk about that. We can figure that out. But many of us kind of know. But we're like, it's not a big deal. And if your gift is teaching, you should teach. And some of you are good teachers and you're not. You're giving excuses and reasons why you don't do it. Some of you are really good at leading, but you don't want to step in that role because once you were burned. Sometimes serving is just difficult, and so you don't serve. We are given these gifts, and we are to use them for the body of Christ. So imagine this. Imagine you loan me your car to go pick up your, let's just say, get your five-year-old from school. Are kids in school at 5 years old? Is that kindergarten? Yes? No? Somebody help me out here. I'm old. Okay, thank you. All right, good. So you loan me your car so I could pick up your five-year-old from school. What grade is that? Kindergarten? Okay. I don't know. I'm old, man. It's a long, long time ago. And you loan me your car to do that. But instead, you know what? I'm like, you know what? I'm going to drive to State College, and I'm going to go to a movie. I got this car. It works. It's a good car. So I'm going to go and do that. And, you know, and it's a good movie. It's a nice, clean, wholesome movie. Maybe I'm watching God's Not Dead or something. So it's not like I'm going to go see some bad movie. And to say, I realize you gave me your car to pick up your kid, but the movie was good, right? And it's not a big deal, right? Meanwhile, your five-year-old is crying outside of the school because no one came to get them. And you'd be like, oh, I'm cool with that. Oh, that's fine. Oh, you use the car to go to a movie instead of pick up my kid from school? Oh, that's fine. No big deal. You would not feel that way. You would be furious. I gave you that gift to use for my benefit. I gave you that resource to use to get my child. And we do the same thing with our gifts. Like, I'm going to use it for this. I'm going to do this other thing and not really help the body of Christ. I'm not going to help the church. So if you aren't using your gift to serve the body of Christ, you are stealing from God. You're stealing from God because he gave it to you for the benefit of his church. So if you're not using it, you're stealing from him. So use your gift and use it well. And if, again, Paul says, if then do it well. If then do it well. If then lead diligently. If then speak with faith, all the faith that God's giving you. This is a thing that we're supposed to do. The third thing is that your passion matters. Your passion matters. So share it. Be passionate about what you're doing. This is huge. Some of you have really hard or difficult or certainly not upfront jobs that you're like, nobody cares, it doesn't matter. All I'm doing is this. Yeah, you're right. That job sucks. And we do it because we want to humiliate the parking people. We do it because that's why we're, you don't realize that the elders have like this little thing. We're like, who do we not like right now? So we're going to give them jobs that don't matter. But the ones we really don't like, nursery. Like, this is the idea. We're like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. No, it does matter. There's a purpose out there. There's a purpose in the nursery. There's a purpose in ignition. There's a purpose in prime group. All of these things are on purpose, mostly because God has told us as the church, these are the things we're supposed to be doing, not parking, but welcoming people in. And so Paul says, when it comes to this passion idea, he says, look at the emphatic words that he uses. Look at the words with passion here. He says in verse 9, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Really love them. Do you really love the people around you? Do you really love the people that you serve? Do you really love the people that you worship with? Or do you just pretend to? He says, hate what is wrong. Hate is a strong word. Hate what is wrong. He says, hold tightly to what is good. Hold tightly. These aren't like, maybe keep a finger on it. Maybe you'll be good. Actually, something like that happened last week. I remember I was getting ready to like lift a bucket or something of stone or gravel to move to the floor that we poured, which, by the way, September 21st, our team will be sharing all about that trip. And I remember it was like, I went to pick it up. Someone else got it. I'm like, okay, I'll just help. And I just put my finger on their shoulder as the bucket was being carried by someone else. Like, that's not a helping. That's not a holding tightly. That's not having passion. He says, love each other with genuine affection. Love each other with genuine affection, real affection, and take delight in honoring each other. And that song that we sang, Abandon, which we'll sing again as we wrap up this morning. Like, are we willing to say, you know what, it's not about me. I want to do my best to make sure other people are greater than I am. I want to do my best so that whenever people are around, they're like, wow, that person always makes me feel better. They make me feel like a better person. He says, never be lazy, but work hard. Work hard. I guess I have to fix this thing on my schedule. I got nothing else to do, and the elders are going to get on my case if I don't serve. No. Wow. I have the privilege of coming here and checking families in and saying, we are so glad you're here. We are so glad that you have trusted your children to us. And we are so glad for the privilege of taking these kids and teaching them about Jesus so that they're learning the same thing that you are, because it's your responsibility, mom and dad, to disciple your kids. And we want to be able to send you out with the tools to do that. So thank you for checking your kid in here. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Enthusiastically. Give God everything. Give him your passion. He says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. Again, these are not tame words. These aren't lazy words. These aren't like meh words. These are enthusiastic. These are passionate words. Where are we? Patient trouble. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready. Be ready to help them. Not, I'll figure it out when I get a chance. You know what? I'm good today. And he says, always be eager to practice hospitality. He says, this is the body of Christ. We are Jesus' representatives to this world and to each other. And he says, be passionate about it. Give your all. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it well. Do it passionately. If you're up here and you're in the band and you're like, oh, I've got to play a song to get through. And I've seen over the years, not here, but I've seen places where people are like, you're clearly up there playing an instrument, but you're not worshiping. And there's a difference. Your passion matters. Share it. Again, do you only show up because it's what you're supposed to do? If that's your attitude coming in the morning, you've already lost. And we have already lost because I need you, and the person next to you needs you, and the person behind you needs you. We need each other. I mean, again, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. We probably have done this as parents multiple times. Two kids. One kid does something to the other. That was wrong. Why did you hit them? I want you to tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry because mom says I have to tell you I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, that's passionate. That's real. Hey, here's some flowers, honey. I got them because someone was giving away and I was told if I don't give them to my wife, I'm going to get in trouble. So here you go. Passion or just going through the motions? Do you realize the privilege? Do you realize that this is a privilege to be able to worship, learn, and grow together? Like this is something that not everyone has. I mean, there's certain countries in the world that can't even do this publicly. And guess what? It's air conditioned in this room. So suck it up if you have a problem coming into this building. Because let me tell you about last Sunday. We show up, the high on Sunday, I think, was 96. The high on Monday was 95. It was like all in the 90s. And I'm pretty sure that when our plane left Oaxaca, the high was 78. I'm not kidding you. The highs right now in Oaxaca are like in the 70s for the rest of this week and next week. It was hot. But even still, like, those people weren't like, oh, well, it's hot. I'm not going to worship the Lord. I'm not going to gather. No, like, this is a privilege. Be passionate about it. Do you passionately crave connection to the church? Are you excited, get this, that the God of the universe wants to use you to change someone's eternity? And you don't know when that moment's going to be. You don't know what God is going to do through you. But we're like, nah, all right, God, whatever. And God's like, okay, I'm still going to accomplish my will. But you're going to miss out on some privilege, on some opportunity. And that idea of saying, the God of the universe wants to use you. He wants to use you. And you can be a part of someone's story. And many of you are here because God used someone in your life. And so bring that passion. Bring that. Share it. And then finally, your connection matters. So bring it. Your connection matters. This matters. Showing up to worship with the body of Christ. And I will say this. Like, we have a pretty good live stream thing going on after years of trial and error, mostly error, actually all error. But now we've really got a pretty good, it sounds pretty good. But dude, there is something to hearing this groom echo all to him and to say that I'm surrendering all. And you can't get that on live stream. I'm sorry. There is something about being with the body of Christ and hearing and worshiping together and rubbing elbows and shoulders with the people around you and go, you know what? We're so different, but we get to worship the God of the universe together. So in verses 14 to 16, Paul says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And then he says, be happy with those who are happy. Other translations say, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. He says, our connection matters. Like, we need, you can't rejoice with those who are rejoicing or be happy with those who are happy if you're not with them. You can't. You cannot come alongside someone and say, I'm really sorry. I'm so sad with you. I'm mourning with you. I'm weeping with you during this hard time. But that won't happen if you don't know people, because you need to get to know people and you need to be connected. You need to be connected to one another. We need to be vulnerable. We are called to be vulnerable in each other's life. But I'm not comfortable with that. I don't care. It's not my call. It's Jesus' call. That we need to be open and say, guys, I had a really hard week. Here's what happened. Or let me tell you, remember that thing we've been praying about? It happened. And we get to rejoice and celebrate. But you won't get that if you're not connected. In connection, no question, MC3 prime groups. If you're not in a prime group, you're not connected. If you're not connected, you're not really doing what God has called you to do as part of the body of Christ. And you're like, well, that's mean. How can you say that your program is more important? Honestly, what we're doing here on Sunday mornings really wasn't as big of a part of the church when it first started as getting together in small groups. We just Americanized it and said, I show up on Sunday, check my box, and I'm good. But we need to be connected. We need to be vulnerable. And relationships don't happen from a distance. And let me just say this. As a Christ follower, you don't need to become part of the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. And so we are expected to be real about our struggles and our successes. Prime groups matter. Worshiping together matters. This is how God created us and designed us. And being here matters. Being connected in a prime group matters. So your connection matters. Bring it. Someone on fire doesn't just attend church. They crave connection and serving. Like, I can't wait for the opportunity to change some diapers. And that sounds like, what? Why would you do that? But what if the opportunity for you to change diapers allows a parent to be in here and God uses that morning to change something dramatically in their life? Or that's the day that they give their heart fully to Jesus and your diaper changing has changed their eternity because you are that tool in the hands of the master going, oh, I'm working this thing out and I'm going to do something big because you offered yourself to me, because you surrendered yourself to him, because you abandoned everything and said, it's not about my pride. It's not about how I feel about it. And we'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. It's saying, I crave this. So every week we've been asking these questions, the same question. Except for last week, because I wasn't here. But the question is, am I on fire? I'm not telling you this. I can't answer this question for you. And frankly, I don't care. I don't care that I'm not like, oh, okay, let me tell you what I think about Kirk. Here's how I think he's on fire. Here's what I think about Jack and his, like, I'm not into that. This is for you. And this is for you, as Paul said, to be honest about yourself, to make an honest evaluation about yourself. And to ask the question, am I on fire for the church? We did a whole series years ago called Brothers and Sisters that talks about a bunch of these ideas of what does it look like to be in each other's lives? What does it look like to be brothers and sisters in Jesus? You can find that on the website in the announcement loop. But some questions to ask about, do you ask yourself, am I on fire for the church? The first question is, do I only see selfishly? Do I only see selfishly? Do you realize, as we said earlier, that you need everyone else and they need you? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. Again, we talked, this is the other one of the other passages about spiritual gifts. He says, we have all been baptized into one body. I mean, we are together as one body by one spirit. We all share the same spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. And all these parts are different. And we have this stinking American mindset that says, well, my part doesn't matter if I'm not on the stage. Somehow, this is the most important part. And it's not. It's all part. He says, the foot says, I'm not a part of the body. I'm just trash. He says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand. That doesn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? No, you need your hands, you need your feet, you need your eyes, you need your ears. They do different things, but you need them all. He says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. And your part is exactly where God wants you, and you are not trash. You are where God wants you, and you need to decide. Are you looking at this as a, I'm needed? Or do you just say, you know what? It doesn't matter. He goes on and says, how strange would it be if you only had one part? Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. You can't say to someone else, I don't need your part, because you are wrong. You need them, and they need you, and we need each other. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Every one of you. But we look at it from a selfish perspective and say, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm not necessary. I'm not needed. Or we say, you know what? Who do they think they are? Who do they think they are to say that there's something I need to change in my life? No, who they think they are is part of the body of Christ, and you are part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. And stop calling yourself trash, and stop calling the church of Jesus Christ trash. The question is, do you only see selfishly? Are you just looking at it from your own perspective? Or do you recognize that we need each other? The second question is, do I only connect superficially? Again, you need to ask yourself this. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. How do we do that? By not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day, capital D, meaning the day that Jesus is coming back. It's coming. He's coming. It might be another 1,000 years. But as we every day we're closer to that moment. And every day we need to encourage one another more. And every day we need to meet together more. Because we need each other. We need to be together. Don't give up meeting. We did a series just a few months ago called United States about what does it look like to be unified? What does it look like to be united as the church? Do you show up? But that's about it. Ready? Sorry about this. Maybe you come in late. You sit by yourself and then leave as soon as I dismiss. And then complain that MC3 doesn't care about people. Or because you don't have any friends. And let me tell you how many times I've heard that from people. I'm like, it is your fault. These doors are open at 8:30 in the morning. Not that you all need to show up at 8:30, but this idea of saying, I'm here to be a part of the body. I'm going to come early. I'm going to hang out. I'm going to say, how are you doing? How's it been? Hey, what's going on? What was the trip like? Hey, I knew you were away. What happened to your family? Hey, I saw this thing in the paper. Is that okay? Like, we have conversations because we're the body of Christ. We need to connect and we need to be deep in each other's lives. And that doesn't happen while you're facing me. It doesn't. Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, says, no, don't give this up. Get closer. Connect deeply. You can't spur on or be spurred on if you're not connected. You can't spur someone on in a prime group if you're not connected to a prime group. You can't be spurred on. And all you're doing is a superficial connection saying, I'm in this thing, and that's okay. And again, I said the first week, I know that this is going to be offensive. And it might cause some people to find a church where they can connect superficially. And if that's your thing, that's fine, but this isn't your place. This is a church for people on fire for Jesus that are in each other's lives. And we're not just doing a surface thing, because that's not what the church is. The church isn't showing up in rows and facing forward. The church is being in each other's lives. So the question you need to ask yourself is, do I connect Do I only connect superficially? If you really want to connect, come early, leave late. If first impressions says, all right, guys, it's time to turn off the lights, you're probably somewhere in the right zone. And I get it. Like Mother's Day was a couple weeks ago. You need to take I'm just saying in general, is it I'm going to sneak in because it is 10:05 and I know I can pop in. No one will talk to me. And as soon as Sean says you're dismissed, I'm out. That's not church. That's entertainment, maybe? I don't know what you're in for. That's a concert? But that's not the church, because the church connects deeply. And they're in each other's lives. They don't give up meeting together, but they spur one another on. The third question is, do I only commit conditionally? Do you only help as long as you feel good about it? Do you only show up when you feel okay? And I'm not talking about you have a stomach bug and you've been violently throwing up. Please, don't show up. The kids in preschool would appreciate that as well. The parents in the preschool would really appreciate that you don't throw up all over their kids and bring that home with them. But I'm just talking about this, well, I don't know. I don't feel like it. Is serving based on your feelings at the moment? Like, today was a hard day. Oh, the kids were kind of rough last night. Oh, nap time didn't go so well. Oh, I was out really late last night at a concert or a movie. And we allow our feeling to determine whether we commit to what we're doing. Maybe we even get to the spot where we're like, you know what, I've been doing this for a long time. And is it even making a difference? And we're ready to quit and give up. And as Kendra was, you got a lot in your prayer this morning. She was talking to her mom about some friends of theirs that have been missionaries for 40 years in a Baltic state Romania, something like that, yeah. And 40 years, not one person, right? Or one person. Two people turned their lives over to Jesus. And they're still going. What does Paul say to that? To the church in Galatia, he says this. He says, let us not become weary. Don't get tired of what you're doing in doing good. He says, we feel like it doesn't matter. It's sometimes we get to that spot where like, I don't even know if we're making a difference. I don't even feel like showing up. I don't even want to do this right now. He says, don't become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, at just the right time, at the perfect time that God has set up, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And you don't know what tomorrow might be that day. Tomorrow might be that day that God's going to change something. And I can tell you, I have been some of your pastor, I've been all of your pastor, for some of you, there we go, for almost like 20-some years. Some of you in this room, more than 20 years, 30 to 25 years. And some of you, I'm not going to point any fingers. Some of you were hard a long time ago when I was a youth pastor. But watching God change you, I will point at Kyle. but just watching the stories of what God did. And what if I gave up? What if I gave up? You know? Like, what if I gave up, girls? Like, not having that dad, not having that husband. And I'm not saying it's all on me. But those are the stories. And God is doing that. And so we shouldn't give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So Paul says we need to care even more for the church and serve with everything. But is our commitment only conditional? We did a series called Adonai where we looked at the love your Lord, your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the fourth week of that series, which is on the slide, we talked about what does it look like to love God with all of your strength, to give God everything? Or do we only commit conditionally when we feel like it? And ministry's hard. I mean, there's no question. It's hard. People are hard. Because you know what? You're a bunch of hypocrites. And so am I. And until sin is removed, we're going to all have a hard time doing ministry. But we are supposed to keep going because God is using us. God wants to do something, and he wants to do it through us. And so don't just commit when you feel like it. Don't commit if it's going well. Commit to committing. And then the final question is, do I only serve evasively? And the other way to word this is, do you just make excuses? Is it like, hey, we have this need. Oh, let me tell you why I can't help meet that need. Hey, we have this position. We need someone to say, oh, here's why that can't happen. And we have all these really good reasons for why we don't have to serve Jesus and do what he's told us to do. And they're good reasons. It's not like, because I need to go abuse children and start trafficking them. Like, that's not the excuses. They're good excuses. Well, family, I do need to provide for them, so I have to have this job, so therefore I have to, .. It's important to be a well-rounded person, so I have my kids involved in every possible thing that the school offers because, I want them to be well-rounded. Sports, I need to be physically fit. My kids need to be fit, so we're really involved in sports. And we find these reasons to not have to serve. And there's this beautiful passage in John chapter 4. It's just one verse, but the passage is incredible. It's right after Jesus met with a Samaritan woman at the well. And the disciples come up and see that Jesus is talking to the Samaritan. And the Samaritans were hated by the Jewish people. And there would be every reason for Jesus not to be there talking to this woman. There would be every reason for Jesus to say, yeah, guys, we should not be here. We need to get out of here. But Jesus says to them, hey, guys, wait a second. Before you start going, well, Jesus, this isn't right. Jesus, we shouldn't be doing this. Jesus, this is a Samaritan. Jesus, this is a woman. Hello, Jesus, stop. Wait, I'm sorry, Jesus, but we really should be going over there. And it's important that we do something else. But he says, don't you have a saying? I tell you, it's still 4 months to the harvest. Or sorry, he says that saying, it's still 4 months to the harvest. He says, but I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus says, I'm not interested in your excuses because I'm doing something here. And there are needs to be met. There are places where I'm doing things. And I'm ready to help them. And you need to serve. You need to step in. And your reasons might be good. But there's a lot of excuses. And he says, they're not good enough. The time for serving is now. Open your eyes. The time is now to serve. Not next month, not after you come back from vacation and work it out. Well, I'll just wait till the next school year. Some of you just step up and serve right now. Well, I don't know how to serve. Where can I serve? Oh, good question. Why don't I give you a short little list? It is in the YouVersion notes, but here it is. Here are some MC3 ministry team opportunities. The First Impressions team, you could be a team leader. By the way, if your role is up here, it's not because we're kicking you out. Just nobody's stressed, you're getting kicked out. But there's a team leader can be used, and I don't have time to explain all these. You could be involved in the ignition check-in. You can be involved in the lobby greeter. You could be part of the parking crew, welcoming people here. The grounds crew, the grounds team needs people. They need mowers, people every month to mow in the summer. They need snow shoveling in the winter. They need people to weed. That's kind of a new thing. We're looking for people to help weed every few weeks. They need someone to help with equipment maintenance. They need the team backdrop. They could use help putting these backdrops together. Some people maybe just as designing ideas. Here's some creative ways they can do it because, you know, they're really lacking in creativity. I'm just kidding. They're incredible. But they could use people to help build them. Then in MC3 family, there are tons of opportunities. And you can read them better on your on the app there. But in Ignition, you could be a nursery worker. You could be a preschool teacher. You could be a toddler teacher. You could be part of a backup support, meaning there are some people that just are on call in case, wow, guys, we had like 400 kids today. We could use a second person. So that's a role. You could be an elementary teacher upstairs in Ignition. You could be part of the game room helper. You plan the games and lead them with the kids upstairs. You could be a student helper, meaning you are a student and you can serve in Ignition. Then over in Jumpstart, we need people in the jump crew, which is the upfront part. We need production managers, someone just to make sure everything happens. The games MC, someone to lead the games each month. The Jumpstarter creation team, putting it together, what goes home with the families is an opportunity. The meal team, there's people that put together a meal every month for Jumpstart. Over in MC3 student, you can be a student prime leader, meaning you lead a small group of students, which is those people that are out there in Parent Connect. The other thing you could do would be, and I haven't actually talked to Zach about this, but a student prime helper. I'm sure he would take on people that say, you know, I'm not quite ready to lead a group, but I'd love to help. I'd love to help out. And okay, I've got the head nod, so we're good. Over in the media team, back there, we need people to run the sound booth. We need people to help with Pro Presenter, which is the worship slides that you're looking at right now. We need someone to run OBS, which is the live stream every week, back there as well. In prime groups, we need prime group leaders, people willing to lead a group. Each cycle, we have three cycles. You've heard about it. You can hear more if you talk to Chris. We also can use prime group host homes. We actually have leaders. We have leaders ready to go, but they can't meet in their home. And so if you were just to open your home and say, hey, how about a group meets here? I'll keep it clean. I'll open my house for you to meet. In the band, I don't know if you've seen them before, but we could use some singers. We can use people to play the piano or the keyboard. We can use drummers. We could use an acoustic guitar. Yeah, acoustic guitar, electric guitar, bass guitar. They could use help with music organization and band administration. There's a lot of details that go into that. And I can tell you, we're about to graduate a lot of people this year and next year, a lot of students as well. So we're going to need people to fill in the gap. But those are ways that you can serve. So are you on fire for the church? Those are the questions there. Do I only see selfishly? Do I only connect superficially? Do I only commit conditionally? Or do I only serve evasively? Like, are these you? Because if these questions that say, yeah, I do that, then you're not on fire for the church. And you need to look deeply and say, God, what is it going to take? God, how can you help me to become completely abandoned, to be completely surrendered to you? Because someone who's on fire for Jesus, someone who's on fire doesn't just attend church. They crave connection and serving. They can't wait to do it. They love the opportunity because this is the church of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I want to use you to grow my kingdom. And so if that's how we feel, then let's show it. Instead of saying, yeah, oh, I'm on fire for Jesus, but we keep jumping into the trash. And that's what this spork is for. Take it home to remind you, are you on fire? Or do you just say, no, I'm just trash. The church is just trash. It doesn't matter. So would you please stand up? We'll kill all the house lights there and worship with this song. Again, the YouVersion notes have this reading plan that we're doing together called Crazy Love. And it's a challenging read. And there's also options for you to find the book. It's a great book to really say, am I really on fire for Jesus? Do I really have that crazy love for him? Also in the YouVersion notes, I'm not sure if I'm in order here, is a prayer card there to pray for these 8 things over the course of these 2 months about what it looks like to be on fire. There's also physical cards out in the lobby. But these, again, are just a way to say, am I really on fire? What does it take to be on fire? And Jesus, help me to be on fire for you. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your life, for your Son's life for us on the cross. And as we just finished singing, the idea of we could never match what you have done for us. We couldn't even come close to matching what you've done for us. So take the little bit we have. Help us to be real. And maybe we are just a spork. Maybe we are just an old piece of trash. But God, in your hands, just like in the hands of the little girl, we become something incredible. Help us to offer ourselves to you, to be your church, to be ones who crave connection with this body, to crave the privilege of worshiping, to crave the opportunity to serve and to be used by you, to change people's eternity. God, allow us to be abandoned to you. Help us to become someone who is truly on fire for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.